And even people from other churches ask, Pastor Sam, what are you going to do now, Pastor Sam, without Pastor Jeff here? And we've been a team for the past 6 years. And I know that God has a special plan for Pastor Jeff and his family. Amen? And he has called them to go to the seminary where he's going to be 2.5 years. And I know that God has also a special plan for the Fallbrook SDA Church. Amen? And during the summer, we're going to be having our search committee meet and look at different candidates who would be coming as a possible associate youth pastor here to our church. And something that each one of us can do here at our church is pray. Amen? If there's ever a time where we need to be praying is now, as we come together, as we share names of different people who could come here to our church, we need to do this prayerfully. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in the decisions that we will be making. We also have our nominating committee who is meeting during the summer. So it will be a busy summer with all these meetings, but we ask that you pray. Pray that God will lead us and guide us to make the right decisions. And I want to share with you something today. I have entitled today's sermon, Last Words. When you think of last words, we think sometimes of people who are departing. They're going to another place, and they share with us their last words. Pastor Jeff last week shared with us from the book of Philippians, his last words from chapter 1, and shared a beautiful message. We think of people who are about to die. And maybe some of us have recently experienced this, where a loved one has been in a situation where they're about to die. And we long to remember and to hear those last words. And we say, well, what were the last words such and such a person said? And we also think the times we're living in, the time of the end, the last days. And do you believe that God has some last words for us too? He does in his word. He does not want us to go through this time period without being assured that he is with us, without the assurance that God will lead his people in these last days. And so we look at the Bible and we find words that should encourage you and also encourage me in knowing that God is with us, brothers and sisters. He has not left us alone. And we find in God's word that words have an incredible impact. I want to share this with you. You might not be the CEO of a company, and you might not have a lot of money in your bank account or retirement account, but you have influence. You have influence at home. You have influence at work. You have influence here at church. Words carry weight. Amen? And it's incredible what technology has done also. Basically, we have the world as our stage nowadays, where something we say here can go to the entire world. The book of Proverbs tells us about the impact of words, and I just want to share this as an introduction. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that wisdom and instruction are acquired by having a perception of words of understanding. Yes, there are many words that are being shared today that we do not want to hear. Amen? Words that discourage us, words that are not true, that are false. And yes, we live in a world where it seems that we're overloaded with information. Constantly, we are told we need to know this and this and this, and then make a wise and good decision. But the Bible invites us to look for wisdom and to look for instruction by perceiving words of understanding. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that the Bible has words of understandings for us today. Amen? God's word is here to show us the way, to show us what is right and what is good. Proverbs 7, verse 1 tells us of a father's instruction to his son. to keep his word and to lay up his commandments or words within him. And I know that there are many parents here today, and they have children, and they want to instill in their children these words of wisdom so that they won't have to suffer maybe what they suffered, amen? So that they won't have to go through bad experiences in life. And I know that the one who wrote this proverb, a wise king, was writing to his son, telling him, "Son, keep my words in your heart. They will keep you from all these evils that exist in our world today." Proverbs also tells us in chapter 16, verse 24, "Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Yes, there are words that encourage us. There are words that heal, brothers and sisters. And can we say amen to that? There are words that we can share with others that will help them in their walk and in the things that they do. But as there are words that are sweet, there are also words that cause bitterness, concern. And those are the words that we do not want to be sharing with anyone. But we are invited to listen to God's word to us who live in this time. And so what I want to share with you is the words found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John, as you know, was a disciple of Jesus, the beloved disciple. And he heard Jesus speaking to multitudes as well as to single people. He spoke to a Pharisee at night in the Garden of Gethsemane. He spoke to a Samaritan woman by a well. He spoke to some guest at a wedding. He spoke to multitudes who had come out, and he went up to a hill to share with them words of life. Not just any words. Words that would transform and change their lives forever if they would believe. But John takes almost half of his gospel to share with us the last words of Jesus. About five chapters are focused on this upper room experience where Jesus sat with his disciples. John chapter 12 tells us of his entrance to Jerusalem and how many received him. And they were those who wanted to believe in him, but they were afraid of what the leaders would say. And they were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. So they didn't want to profess their faith, their belief in Jesus. And I want you to go with me to John chapter 12, and we're going to look at two verses there where Jesus speaks about his word. And I believe they're important as we study today's topic, last words. John chapter 13. I'm sorry, chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. Here Jesus speaks to this multitude and tells them, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." But when we go to verse 48, this should make us pay attention. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last days." Are words important? Are Jesus' words important? They are very important, brothers and sisters. And here Jesus is about to share with his disciple his last moments. As we read John chapter 13 and verse 1, it tells us that Jesus was gathering together with his disciples before the feast of the Passover. Now I ask you the question, what was it that they were celebrating at the Passover? Can anyone tell me? What was it that was so important that they gathered together to share this time? Salvation. Exodus. What? Exodus from where? From Egypt. What were they doing in Egypt? Slaves, bondage. They were celebrating their 4th of July. Amen? They were coming together. And they were happy. And the way they would celebrate this, they would tell the story of how God had led them out of Egypt with a mighty and strong hand. And they would encourage each other with these words of how God had led through these difficult times. Has God led through difficult times in your life, brothers and sisters? Amen. Do we remember this from time to time? We should remember. This should give us encouragement and hope for the future as we see how God has led in the past. And so Jesus was here together with his disciples. It was a time of celebration, and they noticed that Jesus wasn't his usual self. Jesus would usually have these words to share with them, and they would just listen for hours and hours, and they would ask him questions. And this time, Jesus was quieter than usual. The Bible tells us there in John chapter 13, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Well, what did Jesus know at that moment? What was clear, crystal for him? He was going to die. He was going to give his life. And the disciples could not understand how, Jesus, we just saw how the multitude wanted to make you king today. And we have great plans for you, Jesus. In fact, you know, my mom talked with you not too long ago about maybe being vice president or treasurer. You know, remember? And the disciples had their minds and thoughts on things that were not even in Jesus' mind at the moment. The disciples were distracted, brothers and sisters, with wanting to be number one. They were distracted with, why did so-and-so's mom go up to Jesus and say that when I should be the next vice president? There was jealousy. There was strife among the disciples. And Jesus wanted to share with them these last words. And he was asking himself this question. The question that I read in a beautiful book called Desire of Ages. And if you have the opportunity to read these chapters that have to do with the last days of Jesus, this is one of the quotes that says, how was Christ going to bring these poor souls where Satan would not gain over them a decided victory? How could he show that a mere profession of discipleship did not make them disciples or ensure them a place in his kingdom? How could he show that his loving service, true humility, which constitutes real greatness? How was he to kindle love in their hearts and enable them to comprehend what he longed to tell them? How? How was Jesus going to communicate these last thoughts, these last words, to disciples who were distracted with what was happening in Jerusalem? Praise God, the Bible tells us clearly. And if there's anything that you remember today, I pray you remember this. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus loved his disciples, didn't he, brothers and sisters? Did he know he was going to be crucified? Did he know of the sufferings he was going to go through? Did he know that somebody there would betray him? Did he know that someone there would deny him? He knew all these things, and yet his concern was not on himself, but was on each one of those men around that table. Can you see Jesus? There at that table, it was accustomed to bring someone to help wash the feet of those guests who would come and sit at the Passover meal. In fact, even today, the host of the family, when you're sitting at the table, he brings a basin with water. One of the members of the family has a little towel, and you dip your hands in the water, you dry, and it goes around. That's their duty. That's their service. But at that moment, the disciples were so, we could say, much filled up with themselves, yes? That they were thinking about who will be the greatest, so that means that I really can't do this. I can't go around and wash so-and-so's feet. It's going to make me look bad. And every decision I make now counts. So Jesus found a way to share with them. And he shared by humbling himself as a servant. Imagine the King of the universe, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created you and me. He humbled himself. His last act was one of a servant. He took off his clothes. He girded himself. He grabbed a towel, the basin of water that was there, and he went and he started to wash his disciples' feet. John was sitting next to him. And yes, John's mom had gone to Jesus and said, I would like John to be in your kingdom and, you know, have a good position next to you. And Judas had heard that, and so Judas said, I'm going to also be right next to Jesus. And I'm going to stand here because I deserve to be the next in line. And Jesus started to wash Judas's feet. And so he went around that table. And they were shocked, astonished. Why would our master, our teacher, serve as a humble servant? What is it that he's trying to teach us? What are these last words that he wants to share with all those who proclaim to be his disciple? We know the story with Peter. Peter was like, Jesus, you're not touching my feet. I'm sorry. And Jesus told him, if I don't touch your feet, Peter, you don't have a part in my kingdom. So Peter said, not just my feet, but my entire body. And again, Jesus said, it is only necessary for me to wash your feet. And the last person to be chosen, John. But John felt like, wow, I should not let Jesus do this either. But if he says this is important, I want to be obedient. And he wasn't sad that he was chosen last. He was honored that his teacher, his master, would show him. What this is all about. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that it's about serving one another. Amen? About loving one another. This is one more quote from Desire of Ages. When Jesus girded himself with a towel to wash the dust from their feet, he desired by that very act to wash the alienation jealousy and pride from their hearts. Their hearts must be cleansed. Pride and self-seeking create dissension and hatred. But all this Jesus washed away in washing their feet. Amen. A change of feeling was brought about. Now there was union of heart, love for one another. They had become humble and teachable. Wow. They were ready now to hear the words of Jesus. In fact, he had something he wanted to share, really, really important. A new commandment. New commandment that we find in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. John 13, verse 34 and 35 say, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." Brothers and sisters, could it be possible for us to keep the Sabbath but not love one another? Is that possible? Is it possible to say, okay, I don't have any gods. I don't worship gods of stone, of metal, and yet not love one another? Could it be possible that the disciples themselves had forgotten what this is all about? "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And I say this today because if there is a commandment that needs to be practiced even more today, is this commandment that Jesus has given us. Amen? This is something that the world is desiring to see. And I praise God for this church. I praise God for you. We're not perfect in no ways. We still have a long ways to go. But I have seen members of this church serving one another, being patient with one another, amen? Being kind to one another, amen? Praying for one another, amen? I've seen this over and over again. And I believe more than ever, Satan is trying to divide his people with amazing things. Things that we hadn't even thought of he could divide us up with. But he's using it. And the only way the church will get through these last days is if we pay attention to these words of Jesus. Words that pertain to us. As we read, as we continue reading here in verse 35, "That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know what, brothers and sisters? That you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." What does it mean to love one another? What does it mean to serve one another? Does this mean we get to share what we know about Jesus with somebody else? Yes, is that love, brothers and sisters? Yes. When we live it, when we put these words into practice, Do we have ample opportunity every day to do this? Praise God. He gives us opportunity to serve one another. And I'll be the first one to let you know, it is not easy. Amen? Sometimes we think about it. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. I shared during first service that my wife's last words yesterday were, "Don't forget to put some salt in the garbanzos." Yes, she was going to work early, right before 7 a.m. She was getting on the car, headed west. And then she added to those words, "Call me." More instructions. 3 hours later, I was calling her. How much? It's an important question. How much salt? Well, grab a spoon and put it in the garbanzo. So I did. Stir it. I did. Taste it. I did. And she asked me, "How does it taste?" And I answered, "Like garbanzos." "Do you think you need to add more salt?" I was like, "Well, I don't really know. But I will just in case." So hopefully, brothers and sisters, the garbanzos you have today, I followed the instructions to the T. And they'll be tasty and good. Last words of Jesus to his disciples. And what he wanted was a change of heart. Amen? And that is what Jesus wants today from each one of us. He wants to change our hearts, brothers and sisters, so that we could be like him. So that we could love like him. So that we could love until the end. Amen? Not a love that just is today and gone tomorrow. But something that perseveres under the most difficult of circumstances. And praise God, he can put that kind of love in each one of our hearts. Amen? And so today, I pray the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts and minds so that we may love one another and the world may know that we are his disciples. Amen.